Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. Pleasure to have you here today, 11 a.m. Eastern, at our broadcast center on May 2nd, 2022. And we're continuing our extraordinary conversation with Percy Menzies of ARCA, which, of course, is the Assisted Recovery Centers of America, one of the top centers in the country for the treatment of alcoholism and drug addiction. Respected and sought-after speaker as well. He says our healthcare system continues to be sluggish in effectively responding to addictions, and we must ramp up ongoing efforts to treat addiction as a prolonged but absolutely curable condition. Addiction throws people into a survival mode, and human beings are meant to thrive, not survive, or actually to thrive, not just survive. Because sometimes we think it all is a matter of just surviving. Well, you want to thrive as you're surviving as well. And that is really a dangerous state to be in if it's just about survival. And that's not a sustainable way to live, according to Percy. Prior to opening his own treatment center, you may recall during our previous conversation, he worked for over 18 years for DuPont Pharmaceuticals, where he recognized how so many incredible things are underused at the time. One of those things that we're going to be talking about today, which is going to be absolutely an amazing conversation, as all of these are. Naltrexone, the medication, a non-addicting opioid, was developed as part of Nixon's war on drugs. And we're going to be talking about the development of that particular drug as well. It's something I've heard of, but I would love to learn more, and I know you want to learn more about it as well, because, again, it's something that is in the forefront of conversation these days on many different levels, and it's something that I think is extraordinary because largely underused at the time when it was 18 years ago when Percy was working for DuPont Pharmaceuticals, it had a tremendous potential as key medications to battle the opioid and alcoholism addiction. So part of his success is based on the meds he offers as well, and that is one of them, which protects patients and curbs craving for drugs and alcohol, which is really important. And of course, the Assisted Recovery Centers of America creates a purpose-driven atmosphere to protect the patient living in drug-infested environments, helps them be encouraged to seek the self-care, because that's so important too, being encouraged to initially even seek the self-care. And with so many drugs continuing to come in, it's troubling, he says, that there's a supply of driven problems, and Percy emphasizes we must curb the supply and demand and make certain the demand is gone. Really fascinating conversation we have coming up. Let's welcome Percy back to Close Up Radio as we continue our exclusive series together, this being part three of our series. Percy, welcome back to Close Up Radio. A pleasure to have you with us once again.
Oh, thank you for the invitation. I'm just so excited to share the development and the history of this amazing medication called Naltrexone.
You know, I've heard bits and pieces of it. I was never really sure, you know, in a concise way, what it was, purpose it served, what it was about. I've heard much more about it in recent years. Can you tell us more about the development of Naltrexone and the benefit of it?
Absolutely. Naltrexone was the direct beneficiary of Nixon's war on drugs. So Nixon's war on drugs had three prongs to it. The first was interdiction, and I had said it in the earlier broadcast that during the time of Nixon, 95% of the heroin in the U.S. was coming in from France. So interdiction worked very well. He cut off the supply of the heroin coming in from France. Second was treatment, and Nixon was very bold and innovative in offering patients a medication called methadone. Now, methadone is a drug. It's controversial, but it's an effective medication that is what is called opiate substitution. And for many people, it works very well. But he was also aware that much more needs to be done. Just substitution by itself is not enough for everyone. What else can be done? And he earmarked considerable amounts of funds for the development of newer medications. And that was the third prong of his war on drugs. And naltrexone was an absolute amazing success of the research of the research arm. So what they did was there was a drug that was initially people were very skeptical about it called naloxone. Naloxone proved to be not only an amazing medication, but really ushered in the era of a new class of medications called opioid antagonists, which means they were opioids, but they were not addicting. Can you imagine such a contradiction within the same molecule, an opioid being non-addicting? So naloxone was the first one, and then came naltrexone. And naltrexone was a drug that was to be used in a very unusual way. It was more as a protection, as a helmet, as a opioid repellent. That once you are successfully detoxed of the opioids, you're coming back into the lion's den. You're coming back into the swamp. The swamp is filled with cues and triggers to use drugs. This medication protects you from all those cues and triggers. Once you are on a pill of naltrexone, no opioid can enter your brain. It is that amazing. So naltrexone has been described as one of the most amazing medications in the history of addiction treatment, especially opioid addiction.
It really is fascinating to realize that and to understand that at the level that you do. How is naltrexone different from the other medications we have to treat addictive disorders?
Good question. We have a very few number of medications to treat opioid addiction. One is methadone, I talked to you about earlier, and the other is a drug called buprenorphine. Methadone and buprenorphine are opioid drugs that also work very well, but they are called opioid substitution treatments. So when the treatment is started, you have to start them on either methadone or buprenorphine. Naltrexone is the exact opposite of methadone. It is the antithesis of methadone. So there are people who have been now detoxed. They went to a residential program. They went to an inpatient program. They're coming back. There's nothing in the system. In the present situation where we have our environment is just flooded with the opportunities to use drugs like fentanyl and so on, you need protection. So naltrexone is what, it's the relevance of naltrexone is even more in today's world. And keep in mind that naltrexone was developed, approved in 1984, way back then. So this is the third medication that has that is seeing a lot of relevance and I think importance in the present situation where the addiction, where the opioid addiction is supply driven. What do I mean by supply? The Chinese and the Mexicans are just flooding a market with fentanyl. It's very easy to make, very easy to smuggle because you can just smuggle a couple of kilograms under a car seat and then lace all the other samples of heroin, meth, cocaine with fentanyl. So fentanyl is the fly in the ointment. Fentanyl is the major culprit that is killing people. And naltrexone is a perfect prophylactic medication to protect patients from the effects of fentanyl. One pill for a 24-hour period will completely protect the brain from any opioid, that includes heroin, fentanyl, and so on. And a monthly shot of naltrexone will protect the patient for a 28-day period. So now you are going back into the swamp, or you are in the shark-infested sea waters, and you are in a shark cage. There may be sharks floating around, but nothing can touch you. So this gives you a fighting chance to not only get off the opioids, but also go back to a life now you can work towards towards a more flourishing mode or a thriving mode.
That's incredible. That's really amazing. You know, if a drug was approved almost 40 years ago, the first thing we all think about was, why would it not have taken off? I mean, 40 years? What do you think the reason for that is, Percy?
I think that when it was first introduced, to introduce a non-addicting opioid, non-addicting drug, takes considerable amount of of behavioral therapy and motivating the patient, because it's just, I joke saying, it's like asking me to give up Indian food. I'm from India. Same thing with the patients who are using opioids, heroin, other drugs. Asking them to give up the opioids is not an easy task. It takes a fair amount of motivation and counseling to convince the patient that continuing to use opioids is not in your best interest. So the components, the behavioral component to help them with naltrexone was never established. And there's a long history to this. There's there was also the prejudice against people using heroin and other opioids. So sad part of it, that if you are addicted to opioids, you are at the bottom of the stigma pyramid. It's just awful, and we need to change that. So asking them you have to be on a substitution treatment for the rest of your life is not for everyone. You have to give them a choice. And never in the field of medicine, Jim, we have seen two medications at the opposite ends, methadone and naltrexone. And which one do we use? And methadone had about a 10-year lead time. Methadone was approved by the Nixon administration, by the FDA, in 1974. And by the time naltrexone was introduced, the worst of the heroin problem was over. You know, the Vietnam War had ended, things had changed. So the kind of support we are looking for did not happen. And unfortunately, I wouldn't say unfortunately, it also led to a treatment segregation. So naltrexone was reserved for the well-to-do people, the physicians, the airline pilots, the business executives, who are supposed to be more motivated. So let them be on naltrexone. The rest of the patients, let them be on methadone. And to me, motivating a patient is my job as a treatment provider. A lot of people are not motivated to stay on a diet. They're not motivated to give up smoking. They're not motivated to give up, destructive habits. But it takes, I as a treatment provider can help them. And by explaining to them the choices of medications, we are giving these patients hope that many of them believe that I have no other choice but to be on substitution opioids for the rest of my life. And if I can convey this one single message, that you can get well and lead a very normal life through a medication like naltrexone for the appropriate patient. It's not for everyone, just like methadone is not for everyone. Buprenorphine is not for everyone. So is naltrexone. But you cannot ignore or push aside a medication like naltrexone, which is a non-opioid that can dramatically change the patient's recovery and allow them into a thriving mode.
That's so incredibly succinctly laid out for us as well, Percy. You're advocating using naltrexone, and for some people, it's a very unusual way as a prevention medication, which I think is extraordinary and revolutionary. Tell us more about this project.
Right. So the prevention is what for naltrexone was developed as a preventative measure. It is not a medication in the conventional sense like that it does something. You take a pill of naltrexone, nothing happens to you. You don't expect any kind of a high. You don't have any withdrawal symptoms if you skip the pill. But it acts like a Teflon coating around your brain. So I have been advocating. So there are many people who are at a high risk of relapsing. You might have a patient who was addicted to opioids. Now they're doing well, but something has happened. They have lost their job. They have, a family member got impacted, things of that sort. So they are at a higher risk of using opioids. what do you do? We certainly can't put them back on buprenorphine or methadone. But these patients would be ideally suited to take naltrexone as a preventative measure. You have people who work in the field, and they are called peer support specialists. We have thousands of them, and I've been saying this often, that the peer support specialists are the people who are in recovery, who have done very well. Now they want to help others. This group is I really describe them as a secret sauce of a success. So they are the ones who motivate patients, give them hope that, look, if I can get well, you too can. This is how I got well. But these people are in the trenches, in and out, talking about drugs, confiscating drugs, things of that sort. They are another ideal group of people who can take naltrexone as a preventative measure. I use the analogy of, like, you know, you are in a mosquito infested area. There's malaria, there are mosquitoes everywhere. What do? You take an anti-malarial drug. That's exactly what I'm promoting or advocating. Taking naltrexone as a preventative measure for high-risk patients. You have family members who are at a risk of relapsing because circumstances have changed. And let's not forget the other indication for naltrexone to prevent the use of alcohol. And it works two ways. You have a patient who has caught up the alcohol, they're not taking any alcohol, they're not using any alcohol, they're sober, but now they're feeling stressed because they lost their job, they're isolated, they feel like using alcohol. Let them take a pill of naltrexone to maintain or continue the sobriety. So naltrexone is the only drug we know that has been approved for the treatment of both opiate addiction and alcoholism. The second group is some people say, look, I'm not quite ready to give up alcohol, but I do want to cut down on it. Here is a medication that will work splendidly well. You take a pill of naltrexone before you drink, and you're likely to not have a full-blown relapse. You might stop at one or two drinks, or in the past, it would be maybe six or eight drinks. So you have a medication that addresses two of the major health problems in the U.S., opiate addiction and alcoholism. If you see the figures that we saw about 25% increase in deaths from alcoholism during the pandemic last year, and we saw another 100,000 people die from opiate overdoses. We need to do something. We need to mobilize public opinion, mobilize and educate patients saying that you don't have to fatalistically accept what is happening. You can take charge of your life. We have a medication called naltrexone. Learn about it. Talk to your doctors. Go to the clinic. Go to the websites and find out more about it, because we are talking about a life and death situation.
Yeah, it really is. Absolutely. You know, the deaths from drug overdose and deaths from alcoholism have reached record levels. And we're even seeing that lately with, the result of the pandemic, people drinking more and dealing with the stress and overwhelm of everything. And what steps do you advocate, Percy, to address this overall problem, this growth in the deaths from drug overdose and deaths from alcoholism?
Because, you know, this is the time, this is one time we don't have any strategy to control or to mitigate the supply of fentanyl coming in. Okay, it is coming in through a very porous border. As I say, because of the volume, it is such a small quantities of fentanyl can be brought in, and it is virtually impossible to stop the supply. Now, you know, the Biden administration is taking some steps to do something about it, but we have no strategy right now. So the strategy that we have to adopt is a massive prevention strategy. Make people aware about naltrexone. Now, there was another drug that DuPont Pharma discovered called naloxone, which is also sold under the brand name Narcan. So Narcan is now synonymous with the reversal of overdose. Many states have now allowed, they're given what is called a statewide prescription. And under that statewide prescription, anybody can go to a pharmacy and pick up naltrexone. naloxone. But let us be aware about the limitation of naloxone. Naloxone can only be used after an overdose has happened, and it cannot be self-administered. It has to be administered by somebody else other than the user. Naltrexone, on the other hand, should be given the same status as naloxone is, where the state issues a statewide prescription, and a patient who is at a high risk for themselves or a loved one can go to the pharmacy, be a little educated on what the medication is, what are the cautions they need to take, and they should be able to pick up a supply, maybe a week supply, 2 week supply of naltrexone, and protect themselves until they go and see a treatment provider. We have to use, as I said earlier, the call has gone out for all hands on deck. Why is it that we are so reluctant to deploy such an amazing medication that has a long track record? Naltrexone is the last untested weapon that we have not deployed in the fight against this insidious disorder that has taken 100,000 lives from alcoholism and another 100,000 lives from opiate addiction. I'm just pleading of a policymakers, of our treatment providers, academicians, researchers, why give us one good answer why this medication should not be deployed as a preventative measure.
When you hear those kinds of statistics, it is overwhelming. You know, we're hearing a lot about harm reduction, too. How does your prevention strategy differ, Percy? Is there room for some synergy?
Oh, absolutely. There's this synergy that is absolutely wonderful. Harm reduction is necessary, okay, but insufficient. Harm reduction is literally helping to save people's lives. But saving people's lives is not enough. We need to go a step further. So what naltrexone does, it takes harm reduction to the next level of harm avoidance. And it makes so much sense. Okay, once you have revived an overdose, patient with an overdose, given these patients syringes, given them a supply of Narcan, a naloxone, what's next? Because many of these people saying, I do want to get out of this morass. I'm really in this state. I want to get out. And giving them hope that once you are in a treatment center, you have been detoxed off the opioids, now we can protect you. So harm reduction, harm avoidance, I believe are the two sides of the same coin. And they go hand in hand. That happens with anything. It's just like, you know, you have a wound. And you go to the ER, it is sutured. And then what do you do? Once it is sutured, we don't just send you off. Then you give them something to protect them from an infection or getting reinfected. You give them an antibiotic. And quote-unquote, naltrexone is an antibiotic that protects you from relapsing. So let us look at naltrexone as an indispensable weapon in the fight against the opiate epidemic, and we can... And by widespread deployment of this weapon, I am certain that we'll be able to reduce the overdose deaths and give people hope that they can get well, they can be quote-unquote cured, and continue and lead a normal, healthy, fulfilling life.
That's really such a positive and inspiring message, Percy. Do you have any closing thoughts for this particular episode of our series? I want to let folks know you'll be back as well on Monday, the 9th of May at 11 a.m. Eastern as we continue the series. But for this particular theme and topic in our third episode, any closing thoughts that come to mind, Percy?
Yes, because, you know, sadly, naltrexone is needlessly seen as oppression, as punishment, saying that if I'm on naltrexone, I cannot use opioids, I cannot drink on it. No, it is not. It is not oppression. It is not punishment. It is actually revival. It is actually giving you a new lease on life. So let's not look at naltrexone as some people have depicted it as oppression. it is nothing but freedom and liberty. And we should have patience in the families, learn more about naltrexone. Way too often, patients do not read enough about it, or they read messages from some special interest groups who say that this medication has no place in treatment and recovery. And I'm pleading of the community and of our policymakers, learn about it. And what harm can it do to deploy a medication that can prevent overdoses and that can prevent excessive drinking, and that may well help us to turn the tide of the opioid epidemic. So again, naltrexone is not oppression, is not punishment. Naltrexone actually is liberty, is freedom, and giving you a new lease on life.
I'd like folks to know that they can go to this website, www. And I will spell it out. It's ARCAMidwest.com. And, of course, that stands for Assisted Recovering Centers of America. And the website, again, www.arcamidwest.com. To connect with Percy and the team, he's, again, a highly respected and sought-after speaker, president and founder of Assisted Recovery Centers of America, one of the top centers in the country for the treatment of alcoholism and drug addiction. And according to Percy, our healthcare system continues to be so sluggish in effectively responding to addictions, and he really believes in ramping up the ongoing efforts to treat addiction as a prolonged but absolutely curable condition. Percy will be with us once again, gracing our presence on Monday, May 9th at 11 a.m. Eastern. We invite and welcome you to join us then. Percy, another riveting, eye-opening, inspiring, and empowering conversation here on Close Up Radio. Thank you for spending the time with us. Really appreciate it, and all the incredible, impactful, and life-changing work that you're doing there at the center, you and your team. I know it speaks to your heart and soul to be doing this extraordinary work. So we thank you for the time with this episode and look forward to joining you again next week as we continue the series together, Percy.
Thank you for the invitation, Jim, and look forward to our talk, continuing our talk next week.
Absolutely. You have a terrific week, and we will chat again soon. The center, again, is based in St. Louis, Missouri, everybody, and we thank you for joining us. If you'd like to learn more, www.arcamidwest.com. Our very special exclusive guest on this episode and continuing the series, this is part three, Percy Menzies. We appreciate him being with us. We appreciate you being with us as well. I'm your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time till next time and inviting you to stay right there. In less than 30 minutes, I'll be right here waiting for you with another amazing guest on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for being with us, and bye for now. Have a great day.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.